Chuck Appleby, Dr. Kwong. They were Chinese doctors here, and they were in the army.
Uh-huh.
And right after World War II, they helped a lot, and along with several other people that were connected with the Legion.
Mm-hmm.
We assisted a large number of people.
Mm-hmm.
For they had benefits coming.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know what they could. Although they got drafted into the army, they didn't know all about the possible benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to apply for them.
Mm-hmm.
A person would have to apply and establish eligibility. And we were able to help them for
mm-hmm.
several years.
Mm-hmm.
So we did.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, that's how come
American Legion give you the life membership, huh?
Yeah, the lot belonged since First World War. That's when they first started the Legion.
Uh-huh.
Of course, some people thought that the thing would drop off.
Uh-huh.
Finally, it's almost dropped off because during the Vietnam War, it was very unpopular.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to get the discharged persons to join.
Mm-hmm.
We got the cold shoulder because they didn't like the war to begin with. Of course, people didn't like the Japanese War either,
mm-hmm.
but they did get benefits because the government was giving them education,
mm-hmm.
was giving them benefits,
mm-hmm.
and Chinese men were just being discharged, were able to bring their families over here.
Right.
And at that time, many of them were illegals,
mm-hmm.
and they had no way of bringing their families over
right.
unless they were veterans.
Right.
And the administration,
uh-huh.
For a time, for 6 or 8 months,
mm-hmm.
all about a year or so, were very lenient.
Mm-hmm.
You could, with the various slightest excuse, these people could go over there and bring their whole families over.
Uh-huh.
If they were illegals, they couldn't buy any. Well, some of them didn't want to anyway, because a lot of them did want to.
Mm-hmm.
And they came over and became prosperous or not,
mm-hmm.
whatever. After they came over here and got all the benefits, well, then they're through.
Yeah.
As far as we're concerned,
mm-hmm.
they had no further use for it. Now, I don't know whether it's the Legion is a dead letter or not. But
when did they present these life members to you?
About 1950 or so, about 1960.
Uh-huh.
About 1965 or so.
Uh-huh.
That was after we had a building, you know.
Uh-huh.
It didn't belong to us, it belonged to the private company, but the building was subscribed to by many of the members,
mm-hmm.
also non-members,
mm-hmm.
they wanted to invest in.
Mm-hmm.
It's on, still there.
Where is it?
11th and San Pedro.
11th and San Pedro?
Yeah.
Oh.
You remember there's a Paul's Kitchen restaurant?
Yes. There?
Paul's Kitchen.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's next to that.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. So now the American Legion actually owned the property?
No.
Uh-huh.
Some members originally started,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't, not the Legion itself. Not the Legion itself does not own the building.
But still belong to the founders.
Yeah, some of the founders,
uh-huh.
most of the founders were members of the original Legion.
So the American Legion paid a rent or?
No, they rent it to, well, I don't know who rents it now. Of course,
uh-huh.
I've been away, but they rented to a Mexican fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And previous to that, it was rented by the Chinese fellow.
Uh-huh.
His name was, he had a restaurant there too, and a dance floor.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some kind of entertainment
uh-huh.
on the floor.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And gradually it deteriorated into a gambling joint because we couldn't make enough money selling chop suey.
Uh-huh.
And it was no good anyway.
Uh-huh.
So when the leasee, or the, what you call it, renter, mm-hmm. turned it into a gambling joint.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is now, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know, I haven't been around there myself.
Uh-huh. I see. So last time over the phone you said that you remember something about the cinema players, the Chinese cinema players, and a couple of things they did, raising funds and put out a play, and also Madame Chiang Kai-shek is visiting in Hollywood Bowl, and those incidents, I don't know if you remember.
Different people, and
so the agent will send a picture of different people.
Yeah, and then the casting office will say, will look at the various pictures, and some of them they throw away, some of them they forget about, some of them say it looks so good for our production or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and send him out to take another look.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's part of the business. That's all. Instead of if we're not well known, or even if you are well known, they say, well, how do I know what he looks like? Well, we want to maybe we see somebody better,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. In other words, you have to be at the mercy of people.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for the job, they're not looking for you to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So they, well, if you want to, I can. This is what we have. Cattle calls, crowds in interviews. They have people that flock out there by the dozen, by the hundred, to, if they have time, they wouldn't go if they didn't have time.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is you've got time and you can, you're able to make the trip,
mm-hmm.
you go. If not, well, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got another job, you don't go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where it is, anything.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout the years, we have many calls, many times you're not what you want. There's also favoritism, what do you call it, bribery, you might say. And sometimes the persons in power will have other myths, other angles. Of course, at one time we had a guy at MGM who was commissioned to by the casting by the his bosses to look for a kid,
mm-hmm.
and the kid should be a certain general description, oriental to begin with,
mm-hmm.
and so the very first thing he did was to send, instead of looking around, he said, well, this is my job, now I'm going to make the best of it.
Mm-hmm.
Not for his own benefit. So this ulterior motive being, what he did was to send an agent,
mm-hmm.
to San Francisco,
uh-huh.
and he went himself, and he got some guy, some waiter or some cook or somebody,
mm-hmm.
restaurant man or whatever. Anyway, some Chinese guy,
mm-hmm.
he said, bring out a crowd of people and
mm-hmm.
let me look at them.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, so for a price, they did.
Uh-huh.
And after he looked around and he would come back and he said, well, we don't see anybody that we want. We'll look a little further. And they keep on looking as long as the job could last. Well, that's part of the racket, isn't it?
I see.
What we call cattle call. I remember.
You call what?
Cattle, you know, cook, cows.
Uh-huh.
Cows, you know,
uh-huh.
cowboys.
Right.
Round them up. Just round up anybody, whoever. They're not going to pick them anyway.
Uh-huh.
Just get them out there. Those are want to stay home or those got a job, they don't go. Mm-hmm. You understand that part of the situation. So you don't. And this fellow, of course not the, of course Bessie is being an agent.
Mm-hmm.
She generally went along with this guy, Bradley.
Bradley?
Yeah, Brady or something like that.
It's American.
Yeah, well he's a casting office. He's in the
world.
Oh
yeah,
picture.
Central casting.
No, 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 studio casting.
All right.
Studio casting would send this guy out to
uh-huh.
look for a guy, a certain description.
Uh-huh.
So instead of looking around any place,
uh-huh.
Chinatown for instance, he'll say, well, we'll have to go to Frisco.
Uh-huh.
And we'll have to send somebody like Bessie Lou.
Uh-huh.
And maybe Bessie would be sure she'd go along. And she would round up some people. And after several days, she'd come back and say, no, we don't have anybody. And maybe we got somebody that don't want to come down here to work. And it ends up with somebody right here anyway, all the time. That's happened too.
Uh-huh.
So there's all kinds of angles to it. But it's neither here nor there. But as far as what we had a play called, it's not Cinema Players, it's we had a play called The Yellow Jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Bessie was one of the instrumental people that was rounding up people to work in the thing. And we had several persons who thought they were actors of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And we did rehearse, and we assigned parts.
Mm-hmm.
And we rehearsed, and we finally got the thing. Well, there's no money in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we couldn't. Well, it was no, I wouldn't say it was no good,
mm-hmm.
but it was a Yellow Jacket. It was a place, an established play, performed by some American actors who masqueraded as Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
It was in English, of course,
mm-hmm.
and we did rehearse the thing and put on the play. It wasn't very successful, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And,
was that show performing is Yvel Wilshire?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how they rented the place. It was actually no money. It was financial. Well, who would want to go to see it? You know.
Was that also for some fundraising?
No, it wasn't raising. It cost us money. It cost individual money. You didn't raise funds with a play. You would do it for your own amusement or for your own satisfaction.
Oh, I see.
You couldn't, who would want to raise funds? Yeah, you go and beg for money.
Mm-hmm.
You get it and you get cash.
Mm-hmm.
That's raising money for a fund or for a cause.
Mm-hmm.
But this is strictly for trying to get somebody to come and see it to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
To begin with, you have to have enough actors or enough persons to come out, whether they're actors or not. They're not. Most of them are not actors. You have to train them, or you have to get them to rehearse, or you have to get them to coach them and all that. Then you try to put on the play, and if you go to Yvel, you have to pay for the money.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you going to invite?
Mm-hmm.
You can't invite people. You have to, you have to urge your friends to come.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't have a very good response because we didn't have a good play.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it was no good. And as far as raising money, it cost us money. It cost us time and money.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, several squabbles among the people.
Mm-hmm.
They would be petty jealousies and people that were not satisfied with their parts, of course. Nobody's satisfied with it. And especially when you see other people doing something that you could do better yourself and getting away with it, and you feel left out in the cold, so you just drop the thing, and the thing lacks support. The whole problem lacks support. The whole proposition is badly held together.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say it's not very successful. at all.
How were these Chinese get paid?
You know,
were they get paid pretty well?
No.
Were you able to
rely on?
Which
you mean the Yellow Jacket people?
No. Just in the movie industry.
Oh, that's different. Some of them had businesses. Some of them worked like I was an agent with Bassin Booze,
mm-hmm.
And I would have, as I say, no steady job because I had my mother and my brother to take care of, and my household to take care of, so I could not undertake a steady job.
Mm-hmm.
In this picture business, for a long time, I would be able to, especially during the wartime, and we collected money for so-called China relief,
mm-hmm.
civilian Chinese relief,
right.
Civilians only, not, we didn't help the Chinese against Japan.
That's right, you cannot.
We didn't violate neutrality because although we had the FRB watching us, the Americans, watching for violations of neutrality,
mm-hmm.
we had, as far as we're concerned, we raised money for clothing, and with donations, cash donations, we handed over to an organization in China,
mm-hmm.
and that was not supposed to go to the Army or Navy.
Right. Right.
Well, whether it did or not, we don't know.
Right.
And whether or not they stuck to somebody's hand,
yeah.
We were accused of that too.
Mm-hmm.
People always would say, well, you collect thousands of dollars, but you don't send any of it back to China.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that happens too. But
yeah.
We can. But my connection with that thing would be that I could take it or leave it. I mean, sometimes, some days I could,
mm-hmm.
some days I couldn't. That left me free to do the picture work.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I was able to help in casting,
mm-hmm.
calling people with Bessie, for Bessie Lou.
Oh.
And I was unofficial, not official at all. It was really illegal because, according to our bylaws, a member of the union cannot hire other members of the union, you see.
Oh.
But, well, they said, we need Chinese, we could get them. So I was able to get them. And in return, I would get on first or second.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I would be on and nobody else would be on.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I could make a living on that. As far as the pay goes, it's got nothing to do with the present pay scale.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, we got the union did fight for higher wages, of course, and we did get several raises. Now it's up to quite comparable to other work.
Mm-hmm. How much would a person get at the beginning, say 1930s? Good Earth,
they didn't have unions.
Mm-hmm. How much did they get paid?
They get $5.
Or
either,
extra?
Yeah, uh-huh. Either $5 or $7.50.
Mm-hmm.
But they could, during the Japanese War, they had a price freeze on the whole country,
mm-hmm.
The whole nation,
mm-hmm.
was limited. Salary.
Mm-hmm.
They, no matter who you are, you couldn't get any more than a certain amount. So they had a scale under which.
Yes.
I didn't think it was much of a success.
Uh-huh.
It was because it was quite difficult to get so many actors. And different, and to match the parts that they needed,
mm-hmm.
and there was a lot of dissatisfaction. There was no money in it,
mm-hmm.
no money for. As a matter of fact, it cost us not only money but time,
mm-hmm.
for each individual.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we finally put the thing on at the Ebell, I think for one or two nights, we couldn't get anybody to come to this thing, of course.
How many nights actually you performed on that one?
Well, I don't remember. Two or three nights, I think.
Uh-huh.
Not very many, because we ran out of people.
Ah,
we ran out of audience, because some people would not be able to come the first night, and then they would say, well, we'll come the next night, and maybe the first night people wouldn't be there, and we'd be diminishing returns.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't very satisfactory.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing, you can imagine, everybody was an amateur,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of squabbling,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and we had some capable people. Some people were capable,
mm-hmm.
but the rest, some of them were well-meaning enough, mm-hmm. like myself, not being well-suited for the business. And well, in general, it wasn't very good, I
uh-huh.
would say.
But it's sort of a tryout anyway.
Well, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we did try out, and we had several rehearsals, of course. And the rehearsals were one of the things that would kind of separate the people that wanted to stay with it and those that didn't care about it
uh-huh.
very much.
Uh-huh.
So we gradually, we'd have some and they'd drop off before we got the thing in.
Wow.
And we had to look for
it's
rehearsals.
It's difficult then.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
very difficult.
Right.
So
yeah.
I don't have, I think it was urgings of, at the urgings of other people that I stayed with it as long as I did.
Mm.
Also, there were some people that were genuinely interested, and I was induced to help them along
mm-hmm.
by transportation and all that,
uh-huh.
coming in and out. And then there were some younger people that we didn't have much use for.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to hang around to see what was going on.
Right.
And then they would drop off. It wasn't very successful, I would say,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but it was an interesting interlude, mm-hmm. but it wasn't, I wouldn't say, you see, we had no money, nobody sponsored anything,
mm-hmm.
each person would undertake, yeah, otherwise they wouldn't be there,
uh-huh.
but each person would undertake uh-huh. to do his, get there and get back and live in the meantime, do something else, or,
right.
you know. So the whole thing fell apart, really. It wasn't very good.
I see. We were earlier talking about the people who were in the movie industry. They were not able to live on what they make by making movies.
Many of them, they... In China City, we had a China City those days.
Mm-hmm.
It's a parking lot for Filippi's restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, Olivera Street was run by Mrs. Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
She had also had an interest in China City.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to combine the two
mm-hmm.
and make a sort of a Oriental Mexican combination tourist attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing didn't work very well, but many of the Chinese people, some of them, not many, well, I guess most of them, worked around there or did not work at all,
mm-hmm.
and they would be working in the pictures, and the married women, and some Chinese women would, you see that picture we had, there's a lot of Chinese women there,
mm-hmm.
and they had nothing to do with working pictures if they could get it, and not if they... If they had no work, well, they wouldn't work at
uh-huh.
all. And the men would work in the... They had these little stores.
Uh-huh.
Like this fellow with a name, nickname Peanut.
Uh-huh.
He had a store. And one other fellow that I was going to tell you about, he had a store, art goods store. During the... You see, Sterling, she ran Olivera Street.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to combine that... Combine that with China City, and the thing burned. China City burned down before she got around to it.
Mm-hmm.
By that time, they had a lot of Chinese merchants
mm-hmm.
in various stalls.
Mm-hmm.
I think about a dozen of them,
mm-hmm.
and they were very cheap rent, and they had a fire there,
mm-hmm.
and it burned the whole thing, burned down,
mm-hmm.
and they so many of the merchants were left high and dry. And while they were not before the fire, they were, well, they could work in the picture or not work in the picture and go back to their store.
I see.
Any day they wanted to, they could close the store. They
I
could,
see.
Just like me, they didn't have a steady job.
I see.
They could close or not close or go and come anytime they wanted to.
I see.
They couldn't make a, they couldn't, it's not like a lawyer sitting down in his office, got a year-round job,
mm-hmm.
or a merchant got a big store that he has to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
We could, we were like tramps, we just
mm-hmm.
move here or there.
I
That's
see.
How we made a living,
uh-huh.
well, such as it was. And it was compared to what a Chinese person could make in those days working for a Chinese, well, they couldn't work for a white man. They could work for a Chinese. They probably got as much money out of the pictures as they would in working.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, they don't have to work.
They
could work or not work. They could work. There's a dozen different studios.
Mm-hmm.
You work for one place and work 2 or 3 days, sometimes more, and or one day, and one day, next day, you look for another job.
Mm-hmm.
You get it okay. So, I was doing practically the same thing, except that I had a connection with a casting, by which unofficial connection,
mm-hmm.
by which I would be one of the first ones on,
mm-hmm.
whether or not they needed me.
Yeah.
They say, well, you bring some guys out. I said, well, I had to come along, otherwise you wouldn't get the guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, they want some old Chinese character way out there in some place. Location. I mean,
mm-hmm.
well, he don't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
He had no car. He's not worth his while to take a taxi or anything.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know how to talk anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Once he gets there, so I'd take him okay. If I don't take him, he wouldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
And so, from that standpoint, for a long time, as I say, I had other interests. I could not undertake a steady job.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I had the homework to do,
right.
My mother and my brother and my sisters were working elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They were still actively working,
mm-hmm.
and so it's just right for me.
Right.
As far as money is concerned, I wasn't a millionaire, but I could make enough money to live on.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way with these peanut and guy
mm-hmm.
that had the stores that
mm-hmm.
had were able to work. When they could work and not work, and they don't have to. Sometimes it would be several weeks' work, sometimes it would be 1 or 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 2 or 3 days off, or maybe longer, indefinite. I mean, it's not the exact time.
No.
Sometimes it's over the period of years, you would say some of them went into other business, they got other opportunities, some of them died off, many of them died off. And that's how they made a living. And the ladies, they would either stay home or be married, and that's it. They would work, and they didn't undertake that as a steady job at all.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't consider that as a steady job.
Mm-hmm.
But many of the ladies did work when they were able to work, and were work more than others.
Mm-hmm.
See, some of them work more than others, of course,
mm-hmm.
because they'd be more connected with the business.
Mm-hmm.
They would understand how to, well, there are two sisters, Bo Ling and Bo Qing. Two sisters, they're still living, I think.
Bo Ling?
Yeah, they had their stage name of Bo Ling, Bo Qing.
Uh-huh.
Her name is Winnie, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I forget their name. Bo Ling and Bo Qing.
Uh-huh.
They were two sisters of stage people.
Uh-huh.
Their father was a stage, they worked on the stage too.
Mm-hmm.
Way back in the vaudeville days.
Mm-hmm.
And they came from New York or someplace.
Mm-hmm.
They finally got here into California, and they live out. And they don't live together, but they work together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were working, well, up to a few years ago, they were still working.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they're elderly now. I think they do this Avon, remember? Avon Cosmetics?
Yes, uh-huh.
I think they do that.
Uh-huh.
Or something, and maybe it's not Avon, maybe it's something else.
Uh-huh.
But it's similar to that. They can go around. They can go or not go.
I see.
Get business or not get business. Don't
yes.
work for 6 weeks or six
right.
months.
Yeah.
They don't care which way. You know, it's not like a steady job. You know, who were in the store,
mm-hmm.
so they could do what they want.
Mm-hmm. What was the biggest part you have?
I think this one.
The flower drawn songs. How much do you make from that movie?
$500.
$500. How long did you?
About 3 days.
3 days?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was pretty good then.
Well, the whole picture. I wasn't in the whole picture.
Uh-huh.
I was in the last couple of days.
Uh-huh.
In the meantime, I was on another picture
oh.
called Extra Work,
mm-hmm.
This one. They didn't call me until Afterthought, because you see the cast is very,
yeah, right.
very elaborate, there are many, many
yes.
people.
Yes, I see.
So
that.
by the time they got around to calling many important people,
uh-huh.
well, of course, I wouldn't be one of the important people.
Well, you are an important one here because you were listed as cast, yeah.
Oh, I'm in the cast, all right, but there are many other people that weren't in the cast.
Uh-huh.
They were not listed in the cast.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there are hundreds of people. You see the picture? Do you see that picture?
Yes.
Well, how many people do you think there are?
Oh, yeah, hundreds of them.
Well, that's it. And also, the still picture.
Oh.